This is my first time to be here at Richlands, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. How about you?
Yeah.
I am thankful that we have young men like this one that we just heard.
Yeah.
Because I've had a lot of trouble with them fellas.
Buy that tape this morning.
Yes, sir. Buy that tape.
Amen.
You can use it. I appreciate the fact that God has people that live a dedicated and a separated life. I appreciate the fact that we can go from one place to another and we can still find people that love God enough to live holiness. Now, there are a lot of things that we could find ourselves involved in and call ourselves Pentecostal. But Pentecostal alone is not holiness. We can find in the Bible that the Bible teaches us that unless we take up our cross and follow Him, we don't have any part with Him.
Come on.
And we find that the Bible also teaches that there are people who are professing Christians that are enemies of the cross.
Amen.
They're not the enemies of Christ. They won't say that they are the enemies of Christ.
All right.
They won't make you, feel like that they're not a Christian if they can keep from it at all. They may dress and look like anything you can think of. I've seen them in all forms of dress and fashion. But they are enemies of the cross. And the reason that they are enemies of the cross and the reason that the Bible says that they are enemies of the cross is because they don't want to separate themselves and live that dedicated, consecrated life. They don't want to bear the reproach that comes with being a dedicated, consecrated Christian, one that's separated from the world and the things of the world. And now, I was raised in a Baptist church. My dad was a businessman in Seminole, Oklahoma, and I was raised in the Baptist church. What going we did to church, it was at least Christmas and Easter.
Uh-huh.
And we kept the relationship with the town, my dad did, by going to church on Easter and Christmas. And he being a businessman, why, he kept the favor. And he was a great Christian because he went to the Baptist church every Easter and every Christmas. And, if a Baptist preacher had got the privilege to preach his funeral, he'd have preached him right into heaven because of that. But someone else got to preach his funeral because I won him to the Lord and really saw him saved.
All right.
And it's wonderful to know that God can give us these abilities. Now, I didn't know anything about holiness or Pentecost or things of that nature. I didn't know that there were such things existed. But the Lord saved me, delivered me,
Yeah. And
then I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was an alcoholic at 19, and because my dad taught that it was all right, always kept the old homebrew in the back room, and taught us that it was all right to go in there and take a sip once in a while. And I did it as a boy growing up. And as a result, I was alcoholic by the time I was 19. But the Lord came along, saved me right about that time. And the Lord gave me a wonderful wife that wouldn't go to the dances with me and wouldn't go to the beer joints with me and wouldn't do all those things. And thank God, God gave me an understanding that there was something better in life than all of those things. And I began to realize that God was real in such a precious and wonderful way that the deliverance I received was genuine. I didn't even want to cuss anymore.
All right, now.
I didn't even want to say gosh, golly, or oh gee, or anything like that. There was such a deliverance in my life. The power of God just come by, and why, I was the cussingest fellow you ever saw before I got saved. I couldn't say 10 words without cussing. Just, I mean, it was there. And the Lord just took the cusser out.
Yeah.
I mean, He took him out. I didn't have him anymore. And I was not bound by those things anymore. I was not bound by drinking. I not only used tobacco in one way, I would smoke a cigarette, take a dip of snuff, and a chew of tobacco at the same time. That's how much a tobacco worm I was. But you know, before I even got saved, I was under conviction. So until I got up one morning, I told Sister Higginbottom, I said, I gave her the pack of cigarettes or the carton of cigarettes I had. I said, throw it away. Do whatever you want to with it, because I'm through with it. And from that day to this, I've never touched another cigarette. The devil tried to make me dream I was smoking while I was preaching, but thank God I knew that wasn't right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God's been good to me. I was raised in the country in the mountains of Oklahoma, Tallahena, Whitesboro. I've swam in Kiamishi River and waded Kiamishi River fishing, and I've been among the water moccasins and all of that kind of stuff, and I've had a lot of experience. But I tell you, the greatest experience I've ever had in my life has been the glory of the power of the Holy Ghost. In my soul. Amen. And I tell you one thing, God's still just as real as He ever was. Amen. The carelessness of people today is causing God not to seem real to this world. The carelessness of the Christian folks in the way they live and they act and they talk and they do, and some of the places they go and some of the things they compromise with and some of the things they give in to has broke down a lot of people's confidence in Christianity. But I want to tell you one thing. I know that God is still just as real as He ever was. And many things I could tell you this morning, the reason I know. But I was laying in the hospital over there in Searcy, Arkansas, and I couldn't use these legs from the waist down, and they just wouldn't work. In 6 days, they were that way. I lay there in that hospital, and the doctor didn't know exactly what he was going to do. He wanted to operate on me. Said I had a vertebrae down here on the lower part of my back that was about that far out of place, and I had to have an operation. The operation cost from $90,000 to $100,000, and I said, that's out of the question. I sure don't have that, don't have any insurance, and so we'll forget that. And so on the sixth day, I looked down, my toes began to wiggle. I've been praying. I said, God, I got to walk again because You want me to preach again. Yeah. Amen. My old Pentecostal grandmother who prayed me out of death itself. Amen. I said, God, I can't let her down. Amen. I said, Lord, You've got to help me some way or another. Yeah. My toes begin to wiggle and my feet begin to wiggle and my legs begin to work. Oh, glory to God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I came out of there, amen, with joy in my soul. Amen. I've had a lot of wonderful experiences. I'm the first patient in history that's ever cured of osteomyelitis. Had TB of the bone. Have a short right leg. Wear a built-up shoe. I got a scar from here to here. Skin growed to the bone. I was an experimental patient. Oklahoma City Crippled Children's Hospital. Dr. O'Donohue and Dr. Roundtree put me in a cast. Put maggots in this leg and left them there for 6 weeks. I lived torment for 6 weeks. In that cast, I wore out a baby bed, in a high-sided baby bed. I wore the mattress completely out. I couldn't sleep because of those maggots in my leg. Hey, I'll tell you what, thank God for maggots. Those maggots, I got rid of those germs, and my grandma's prayers brought me out of death two times. Two times they said I died, and God brought me out of it. You know why? He had a reason for it. The only one in all of the family of the Higginbottoms that ever became a preacher because of grandma's prayers. My grandpa was the outlaw that ran with Jesse James and that bunch. But grandma prayed him out of that and saw him saved before he died. Amen. I tell you, God is a big God. God is a great God. And for nearly 41 years I've been preaching. Amen. Knowing that it was Grandma's prayers, amen, that brought me into that place and position and gave me the joy of the Lord. Amen. An experience that only God can give through prayer. And let me tell you, folks, prayer is the important thing. There's no church that'll function with power without prayer. There's no individual that'll function in power without prayer. Amen. You cannot have power in God without prayer. You got to pray. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Amen. You got to pray.